Actually, my talk today is on, I'm going to talk to you about a random telephone survey that we conducted among women 18 to 35 years of age in Oklahoma. One of the obstacles in working with sexual violence is that the true incidence and prevalence is difficult to measure due to underreporting. The National Violence Against Women Survey in 1995 estimated that the lifetime prevalence of completed or attempted rape among women is 6 times higher than among men, 17% of women versus 3% of men 18 years of age and older in the United States have been victims of completed or attempted rape in their lifetime. The past year prevalence is also 3 times higher among women than men, with 0.3% of women versus 0.1% of men reporting completed or attempted rape in the past year. More than half of women reporting completed or attempted rape were younger than 18 years of age when the rape occurred, and women who were raped before 18 years of age were also more likely to be raped as adult women. According to the National Crime Victimization Survey in 2005, only about 39% of women who were raped reported it to police. According to the Uniform Crime Reporting System data in Oklahoma, during 2005, there were 1,481 rapes reported by Oklahoma law enforcement agencies. Since the Uniform Crime Reporting definition of rape only includes women, it makes sense to include only women in the denominator when calculating rapes. So the rate of rape among Oklahoma women during 2005 was 84.5, per 100,000 women, which was 35% higher than the United States rate of 62.5. From 2000 to 2005, the rate of rape in Oklahoma remained relatively constant, with an annual average rate of 84.8 rapes per 100,000 women. Since rape is a seriously underreported event to police, the Oklahoma State Department of Health has conducted several surveys to estimate the incidence and prevalence of sexual violence among Oklahoma women. The Oklahoma Women's Health Survey in 2002 and 2003 surveyed a random sample of women who were 18 to 44 years of age, and this survey utilized behavioral risk factor surveillance system methodology. And in that standalone survey, 12% of women reported a lifetime prevalence and 1.7% of women reported past year prevalence of sexual violence. Also, in the BRFSS state survey, we included the sexual violence module, and the data for 2005 indicated that 11.6% of women 18 years of age and older reported that they had unwanted sex in their lifetime, and 0.6% had unwanted sex in the past year. Also, data from our Youth Risk Behavior Survey indicates that 9% of girls in high school had been forced to have sex when they did not want to. We wanted to collect data to better inform our sexual violence prevention programs. So we wanted to gather more information about women's attitudes, beliefs, and opinions about sexual assault, the use of services, and sexual assault prevention. We also, at the same time, wanted to gather some information about sexual assault victimization. We contracted with the Oklahoma University Public Opinion Learning Laboratory to conduct a random statewide telephone survey of women 18 to 35 years of age. The survey instrument was about 53 questions long, and in addition to socio-demographic variables, it included questions about the beliefs and attitudes regarding rape and sexual assault, the likelihood of reporting to law enforcement, awareness about services that were available, and also sexual assault victimizations. Rape and sexual assault were defined as any type of penetration or intercourse where verbal threats, pressure, physical force, or a weapon was used, and it also includes situations where the person was not able to give consent. A total of 602 women completed the surveys, and that represented a 35% response rate. About one-third of the women that completed the surveys were 18 to 25 years of age, and two-thirds of the women were 26 to 35 years of age. The racial makeup of respondents was similar to Oklahoma's 18 to 35-year-old female population, with the exception that Native Americans and Hispanic women were underrepresented in the sample. Nearly one-half of respondents reported an annual income which was above Oklahoma's median annual income. About 32% reported an income under the median annual income, and for about 20% of the women, they did not give information about their income. Women were asked a series of questions to gauge their attitudes and beliefs about rape and sexual assault. And in this bar graph, this kind of demonstrates the results of those questions. In the blue area, it shows the percentage of respondents that agreed with the statement. The yellow area shows the percentage that neither agreed or disagreed. And the red area shows the percentage that disagree. The green area shows the don't know classifications or category. A little more than one-fifth of women believed that sometimes rape was just unwanted sex and not really a violent crime. About one-third of women believe that most rape was committed by strangers. And more than half of the women believe that rape can be prevented. Nearly all of the women believed that rape can occur in an intimate relationship. And this graph is just a continuation of those questions. About 12% of women believed that when a woman makes out with her date, that she's letting him know that she wants to have intercourse. 15% of women believed that when women say they are raped, it is usually because they have regrets about letting things go too far. And about that same percentage of women believed that seductive dress encourages rape. We also, women were asked several questions about how they might respond if they were sexually assaulted and how likely they would be to use specific services. More than 90% of respondents said that they were very or somewhat likely to report the incident to police. On this graph, you will see those responses. The bottom bar shows the percentage that would report to police if they were sexually assaulted, also to go to a hospital or for medical treatment, confide in somebody they knew. 75% of women said that they would use a sexual assault hotline, and 67% said that they would speak with a sexual assault victim's advocate. Women were asked their opinion about the best way to prevent rape from occurring, and the majority, or 53% of respondents, endorsed teaching women what they need to do to prevent being raped. 20% thought that strategies should target both men and women, and a very low percentage, 6% of women, felt that changing the attitudes of men was the best strategy. A total of 188 women in the survey, or 31%, reported that they had been sexually assaulted in their lifetime, and 1.2% of respondents had been sexually assaulted in the past 12 months. 74% had their first sexual assault before age 18. 32% had experienced more than one sexual assault. And in 43% of the incidents, alcohol was involved. In 75% of the incidents, those incidents occurred in someone's home. And this graph shows the age of victim at the time of the most recent sexual assault. Women were asked about the age of their most recent sexual assault. 43% of women were in the 15 to 19 year age group, and more than three-fourths of women who had been sexually assaulted were 10 to 24 years of age at the time of the most recent sexual assault. This graph shows the assailant of the most recent sexual assault. And a current or former intimate partner was the assailant in 30% of the incidents, a friend or acquaintance in 27% of the incidents, a relative in 28%, another type of assailant in 7% of the incidents, and a stranger was the assailant in only 8% of the incidents. Now, you may remember the earlier slide showing the services and the percentage of women that said they would likely use those services if they were sexually assaulted. and those are shown here in the red bars. We also asked women who reported that they had been sexually assaulted about the services that they had used following the most recent sexual assault, and these responses are shown in the yellow bars. Only 27% of women reported the sexual assault to police, 23% of women received medical treatment, 27% had some kind of sexual assault victim services, including hotlines or talking to a sexual assault victim's advocate. A majority of women, or 75%, confided in someone they knew, such as a friend or a relative. And please keep in mind that neither these categories nor the series in this chart are mutually exclusive, but this is to demonstrate that there is a difference in what women perceive they would do following a sexual assault and what women actually did when they were sexually assaulted. There are some limitations of the data. The survey was conducted by a survey research group using sound methodology, but there are increasingly inherent biases associated with phone surveys. The data is also self-reported. As I mentioned earlier, Hispanic and Native American women were underrepresented in the sample, and there may be some indication that we were interviewing women with a higher income level that would not be representative of women in that age group. We also know that women less than 18 years of age are in a very high-risk group, and because of consent issues, we were not able to include those women in the survey. And another problem with this data is that it represents statewide estimates, and it's not very useful to our local programs. We do have a few recommendations for prevention. This data indicates that primary prevention should begin with youth. As you can see, the data showed that victimizations occur more frequently in the 15 to 19-year age group. It also shows that the majority of women believe that risk reduction is the best prevention strategy, so we need to look at education on prevention versus risk reduction. We also need to increase the knowledge and promote availability and use of services for sexual assault victims at the community level. We recommend the spectrum of prevention. It is called for working to not only strengthen individual knowledge and skills, but also strengthen community education, educate providers, foster coalitions and networks, change organizational practices, and influence policies. And I also want to acknowledge Mary Atwater at the OU Public Opinion Learning Laboratory and Carolyn Humphreys with the Consulting Psychology Group. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Actually, I don't have that broken down. That is broken down, but we collapsed it to report it in that manner. I do have a copy. For those of you who are interested, I have a few copies of an injury update, which gives more detail about this survey. And I have copies in that. It's likely that's in there, broken down. There again, the details are probably laid out in this little document, so I'll give you a handout so you can look at that. Just different types of relationships, like maybe I'm thinking right offhand, like maybe a coworker or something like that, or some other categories that we didn't collapse into those major categories. She's asking why we had, she considers 35% response rate fairly high, and also for a lengthy questionnaire. The only thing that I can say about that is that we use the Public Opinion Learning Laboratory. They're very skilled in administering surveys. And we met with them. We also met with the coalition. Everybody had a hand in reviewing the survey, framing the survey. I think framing the survey is a very important feature, you know, up front. So I think that that helped, probably, meeting with our coalition and also getting the experience of the people who were running the survey. You know, I don't have that off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I want to say maybe about 15 minutes. Maybe not that long.